Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
It is time for us to do the usual thing, the end of the week. We take time on the Talk Radio Countdown Show to go through the stories, the top 10 stories, according to the work done by the folks at Talkers Magazine. They are represented here extraordinarily well, if I do say so myself, because it's not me. It's Michael Harrison, who's the editor and publisher. And so we have the people list, the story list, and we have the convention to talk about that will be held next week. I want to spend a few minutes on that to tell people what they might expect in terms of listening to what's happening in the world with the personalities. That's the big thing. A lot of personalities will be on board in attendance. So we'll get to that after we kind of go through this story list, maybe take a few shots, a couple of cracks at some items here that are on the list. So where do you want to start, story list or people list, Michael?
Well, I started the story list. We always do that, and we're creatures of habit. We have a tradition to uphold. People will complain. People will complain if we go with the people list first. Go, what did you? I was expecting the stories list first. Boy, I love that opening music. I just realized how exciting it is.
It is. Yeah. All right, Phil, play it again.
Listen to that. Yeah. It's like old time radio.
Yeah. Talk radio, you know, countdown show.
But you know that old the newsroom from high atop a tower. No, he's not playing it again. Okay, so I'll just go.
No, he's number 10. For whatever the reason,
the record fell off the turntable.
Yeah, no, he just played it. I don't know where. Yeah.
You can't change the format, and see, even the computer is rebelling. All right, here we go. At number 10, the New York City mayoral race. They had a debate with a whole bunch of Democratic Party candidates, and
no Republicans need apply.
Well, I mean, it looks like, you know, the conventional wisdom in New York is that the Democrat usually wins. However, there have been cases where that has not been the case. And you know who is going to probably win the Republican nomination?
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Talk radio host from WABC.
Yeah. But
been on there a long time.
But he's such a character. You know, the guardian angel, he wears the red sateen jacket and the beret. And he's sort of like Spider-Man in New York. I had lunch with him once, and he was wearing his jacket and his hat.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was having lunch with Spider-Man. People go, hey, Curtis, you know. Because he's sort of like a local, you know, hero. It'd be funny if he became mayor. That would just be so weird.
Well, it's him versus Andrew Yang, apparently.
Wouldn't that be? Yeah, Yang's got problems.
Ying and Yang.
Yeah. Andrew Yang was like a front runner until he went up against real New York politicians and sort of taking his lunch. So I don't think he'll get it, but we'll see. And California politics tied in there. So we have a lot of like local politics going on in New York and in California.
Do you think that people
into 10?
Do you think that people that are in, let's say, Ashley, Illinois, are concerned about who's the governor of California, who the mayor of New York is? It's like that old business of the flyover states versus the states on the coasts.
Well, only if you think that our survey has any kind of consequence beyond just a point of interest on a show like this.
There you go.
If we're talking about who's going to be the president of the United States or something, and we're weighing the electoral votes of one population center and another population center versus places that have few electoral votes, then it becomes an issue. But I don't think it's an issue. No. Obviously, they're not as concerned. It is interesting. I mean, I would think that the recall election coming up this fall with Andrew Newsom, or what happened 20 years ago with Gray Davis and Arnold Schwarzenegger, is of interest to people across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because the mayor of New York City is such a nationally consequential position, as evidenced by Rudy Giuliani's rise and Bloomberg's rise from that spot. They call that the second hardest job in the world. Koch was an interesting character.
Dinkin was too, I mean, as far as that's concerned. You can think about all the former mayors, but after Bloomberg, who's going to remember that boob Blasio?
Well, he's currently the mayor, so
he's
the current reigning boob. Is that what you call him? Or did you call him a boob? Boob?
I call him Bob Blasio or Blah Blasio. I just think he's one of the best representations of a know-nothing politician who makes a lot of noise. People pay attention to him for they know not what. They vote in a name, and what you got is a bunch of nothing. I mean, the guy's compare him to the likes of Bloomberg. There isn't even any comparison, and yet they have this. They same job. It's pretty amazing.
Do you remember a couple of years ago, you and I were debating over Bloomberg's chances of getting the nomination?
Yeah, I do remember that. I was still there, man. I say till the bitter end.
Just like a number of Trumpers out there are saying he's going to be reinstated when the evidence comes forth from the MyPillow guy.
Right, yeah. But Trump says he knows he's going to be. I mean, that's why you look at this guy is psychologically, what's the story with him? He's sure he's going to be reinstated in August. I mean, he just says anything that comes in. Okay, so that's fine. But the problem with that is that people pay attention to it, and, you know, it becomes like the election fraud thing. Was there a fraud?
In all seriousness, there's concern that his ongoing interviews in which he's saying there was election fraud and that the recounts are going to prove that he is the duly elected president and Biden is an imposter, you know, is not the real president, can lead to more events of January 6th.
Yeah.
And this is a concern. It's a very serious situation. So, folks, if you do believe that the president, the former president, was unfairly, you know, dealt with, you know, because of fraud,
dismissed.
Well, okay, you're entitled to that. But if you think it's kind of a frivolous thing, you know, sort of seeking victory at the expense of truth and what the hell, you're going down a real dark alley because it could be quite dangerous.
Well, that could be tied to number five, the investigation.
Well, we haven't gotten there.
January 6th. I know. We're still
hung up. Keep on number going. 10. You should be quiet.
At number nine,
social media bias tied with the JBS ransomware attack. That's a serious problem. At number eight, U.S. Relations with China and Russia and the U.S.-Afghanistan pullout. A little foreign affairs going on there. At number seven, immigration reform, the economy, and the shortage of workers in the labor market. At number six, race relations, police reform, gun violence, and the Tulsa massacre anniversary. Talk about reparations in Tulsa. Number five, the January 6th investigation debate. There you go. At number four, Israeli political turmoil. And number three, voter legislation initiatives around the country. Number two, Donald Trump. He's a category all by himself at number two, believe it or not. And then election fraud claims and theories. And with the word theory comes the word conspiracy. At number one, COVID-19, vaccines, politics, and stats. And there's your snapshot of the stories. Do you want me to attempt a rundown of the 10 most talked about people?
No. Well, we're going to do that in just a matter of moments here, so stand by for that. The people list up next here on the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Michael Harrison. I'm Doug Steffen. Reminder time about how to maintain your health and well-being the correctamundo way. That's by keeping the weight that you work so hard to get off your body, keeping it off. Let's keep it off. You can do that courtesy of this product. That's the best word I can come up with, and good adjective it is. 24 years, Calitrin has been on top of the weight loss game, and more as you gain, you will gain by using the Calitrin way to lose weight. You think that sentence makes sense? Yeah, it kind of does. You gain in your own health and well-being by losing the weight and keeping it off, and that's really what Calitrin does. Keeps the weight off. And when you check out at toploss.com, which is the official website for Calitrin, where you can buy it, where you can find out how it works, where you can talk to somebody in a private session giving you advice about how to lose weight and keep it off, all kinds of counselors available at toploss.com. When you check out, this could be a liquid or a capsule, take it before you go to bed at night, but you can get a 90-day supply free when you use the DJV code. Figure it out. Find out how it works, how it'll help you out. It's fabulous. It really is. And again, the underscore is 86% success rate, so you know it works. They've been around 24 years. You know it works. It's all natural. You know it works. So take my advice, if you will. Get healthy, experience this, go to toploss.com, use the DJV code on checkout, get 3 months free, and a free shipping situation exists as well. Again, the DJV code at toploss.com. All right, so let's go through the people list now here on the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Michael, you want to take the top 10 people on this list prepared by you and your folks?
Yep, it's Xi Jinping at 10 and Vladimir Putin at 9. Kamala Harris is at 8. Number 7, Kevin McCarthy. 6 is Mitch McConnell. Benjamin Netanyahu is at 5. At number 4, we have Donald Trump, tied with, of all people, a blast from the past, Sidney Powell. She's back in the game and weaving her web of conspiracies. Rand Paul is at 3, Fauci's at 2, and Biden's at 1. And
Sidney Powell, wasn't she the girlfriend of the president Michael Douglas played in The American President? Remember that movie?
Oh, gosh. Her name was Sidney. Yeah. Her name was Sidney. I don't know if it was Powell. I don't think it was Powell, but that was Annette Bening.
Yes.
That was a great movie.
That was a fabulous movie.
Yeah.
It was a really good movie. There's some pretty interesting stories.
Let's talk about Michael Douglas on the other side.
All right. Let's talk about Michael Douglas on the other side. 21 after the hour on the Talk Radio Countdown.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
All right, here we are back in the driver's seat, if you will. Information about the talk radio world, the news talk radio world. Michael Harrison, the editor and publisher of Talkers Magazine. You can find this list at talkers.com. Also can find it on the DJV Show website, djvshow.com, and on our social media as well. You asked me to bring Michael Douglas into—
Yeah, you mentioned Michael Douglas before, Michael Douglas has a phenomenal smash on his hands on Netflix with the third season of The Kaminsky Method.
It's great. Didn't you love it?
I think it's one of the best things I've ever seen in any— on any stage or in any TV show or film. It's that well acted and woven, and I gobbled down the new 6 episodes.
Did
on Netflix. Yeah, the problem with watching this show is it goes so fast because it's so fine. It's just so well crafted.
It's so Hollywood, if you will.
Yeah, well, having spent years in Hollywood.
Yeah, but I mean, the story's about Hollywood, but it's also done by big-time Hollywood people who know how to do this stuff. That's really, it's about as good as the stuff, anything he's done. He's really aging because of that cancer, I think. But when he and Alan, there's obviously fabulous chemistry between those two.
Well, Alan Arkin is not in the third season. They just have flashbacks.
The character
dies. I think the real reason is that Alan Arkin just didn't want to go through the pressure at his age. He is advanced years.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, there are a lot of older folks in this. Kathleen Turner shows up. It's pretty. Even Haley Joel Osment plays as an adult a role in it. Yeah. It's remarkable. Just remarkable. And I highly recommend it to anybody. I don't normally do that, but
What else is really fabulous that comes, I think, in the same vein as the Kaminsky Method, is this Mayor from Easttown. If you haven't seen that on HBO, we don't normally talk about this, as Michael said, on this program, but this is something with Kate Winslet that when you see her, you won't recognize it. You don't know unless you really start, who is that person? Unless you know it's her. That's what the first episode I saw. I just came across it because I was flipping through channels one night, and I saw this, and I was intrigued with the premise of the show. And then I kept asking, who in the hell is that? And it came to me, it was Kate Winslet, who's she plays an old, frumpy police person in a little town in Pennsylvania. But it's a really good story. I would recommend that.
Yeah, okay, of course, so many people remember her from the Titanic. And it's hard to believe how many years ago the Titanic was.
Yeah, she's 45 now. Yeah.
45? Interesting.
Yeah. And one of the things, the stories this week, is because... She's she has a little belly budge, a little belly bulge that was part of a love scene that she did with Guy Pearce. They wanted to take it out, and she said, no, leave it in. Which I thought was kind of interesting.
Was her belly bulge based upon being pregnant, or was her belly bulge based on having too many beers?
Probably having a few too many beers, maybe a couple of extra hot dogs or whatever it is. Yes, that's, yeah, it was cool. Okay, let's, I want to put together and give you the opportunity to sort of chime in on the correlative value of China as a main focus in any number of stories that are in the countdown, from the vaccine itself to the economy and how they're playing in that, to our relationship with China and them saying we're going to really up our nuclear arsenal because we're obviously going to have a confrontation with America, and then all of the business of the ransomware and how they're involved in that with their technology. I think with your permission, I'm going to step aside. I want to throw a couple of suggestions and then get your reaction to it based on perhaps in part what you've heard on a lot of these talk radio programs this week. Michael Harrison, Doug Steffen, 28 after the hour. Before after the hour now, this is the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Now, see if we can work Phil into our thought pattern here, Michael. Phil,
yeah?
Please play the countdown intro again, will you, so that we can regale in its wonderfulness? So we can't even do that.
He won't be able to do it again because he couldn't do it before.
We're slaves to the damn computers.
We would cue the record up.
We had a cart, stick them in, and push the button. You know, everybody thinks we're having all these great advancements.
Now listen to this. From the newsroom, high atop Steffen Tower, it's the Talk Radio Countdown Show, in the air everywhere. Jingle Singles Singers.
That's right.
Who are they?
They are the Steffen Jingle Singers.
Isn't that funny how jingles of that nature still sound reasonable on radio?
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
You know,
I think
jingles.
Now we've had that jingle for a long time.
No, I mean, you know.
As long as we've been around doing this,
do you realize that the people who sing on jingles are real people with real lives?
Not anymore. Don't they have some new kind of synthetic thing that's being announcers' voices and musicians that are all going to be made up by a computer? Isn't that coming along? I thought that was how I saw it.
Eventually they'll have the Doug Steffen program where they'll be able to do
without
the show.
Without Doug Steffen, right.
Without Doug Steffen. Somebody
well, they
keyboard.
Have a Rush Limbaugh show now, and there's no Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, well, that's a step in that direction. But, you know, but I'm serious. They'll be able to synthesize anything. Computer-generated, you know, Clark Gable movies. Mm-hmm. Seriously.
John Wayne comes back.
They already have virtual concerts of dead performers like Michael Jackson and Buddy Holly. People, you know, you actually see a hologram of them on the stage.
Yeah.
So
I wanted to see the Roy Orbison hologram. I haven't seen it. Have you seen that?
No.
That looks like
a
pretty good show. Yeah.
But those jingles, those jingles are, you know what sounds funny? You ever hear choruses from the 40s and the 30s? They sound so alien to today's musical tastes.
Yes.
It's just so interesting.
The choruses matured with the advent of the Jordanaires. That's when it changed.
The Jordanaires.
Don't you remember the Jordanaires?
They were on everybody's hit record. They were the boom, boom.
Exactly. Mostly
boom,
Elvis.
Boom, boom. But they were, what's her face? Patsy Cline. They did a lot of those things. They were the quintessential rock and roll sound.
Yeah, they were.
And by today's standards, they sound very, very dated. But
fun.
But they're fun. But basically very seminal in terms of the history of music. So
yeah. All right. So there's our music lesson. Let's get back to talk. I would like to throw this out and then have you bounce around with some of my theories with regard to the Chinese. I think they're important players in at least four of the stories this week. The ransomware attack on JBS and the continuing ransomware attacks, they are enabling with their technology and then the concert of the Russians who have they've got Edward Snowden and some other character, but mostly Snowden, that's taking what they learned from the Chinese and put it to use in hacking things. So there's that. Then there's our relationship with China, the whole business about we are going to go to war and we better be prepared. Then there's the investigation into China with regard to the vaccines, and it goes on and on. But it was very interesting this week to see how Fauci tried to. I'm of the opinion this time next week Fauci be gone. What about you? You think?
I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen with Fauci. I truly, and I'm not saying that to be dismissive of the importance of the question. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. I find Fauci to be sort of a human being, a man with strengths and weaknesses. In the eye of a storm that mm-hmm. has become so politicized. And, you know, I personally tend to think he's not a bad guy, but there are people that hate him.
Because of the politics. I think he's probably a nice guy. I think he's exercised bad judgment, it would seem. If you look at some of those, how much time was spent on the air this week talking about those email that came out? What did you think of that as you listened around?
Well, I mean, this is all part of the political connection to the COVID-19 crisis, which was the main story of this era. This is not even a short period, you know, 2 months, 3 months. This is an era, and we're going to be in it for a long time. The ramifications of the COVID era are still playing out. We're not out of it yet. We're on the tail end of it. Hopefully, we don't even know that. Mm-hmm. So we don't know whether these vaccines are going to need boosters. We don't know whether they really are going to work for a long period. We don't know if there's going to be outbreaks. If it's going to come back with a variant. There's so much, you know, to use a word, uncertainty connected to this, and so much political debate over it that anybody caught in the middle, such as Fauci, is going to come out, you know, wounded because mm-hmm. of the slings and arrows that are being shot at him.
Because of the nastiness of so many people. That's apparently part of human nature, part of the things that we learn about our fellow man. And women, it's just we have people with a real nasty side, and one wonders why. Mm-hmm. The number four issue this week, Israeli political turmoil. I got a kick out of somebody who said to me that Netanyahu is finished, and I laughed in the guy's face. I was polite about it, but I said, "You're kidding me, Kenny. You don't even know what this guy, the starch. This guy will be a player. He'll be involved. He'll be behind the scenes. He'll be in front of the camera. He'll be everywhere. This guy's not going away just because somebody, you know, yanked him out and pulled a rug out from underneath him. You don't understand the starch that this guy has. Right? Am I right? Do you think?
You are right. And in Israel, because the population is low and the politicians are so seasoned, that they keep him around for a long time. And we're seeing a taste with Trump of what it's like in many other countries, where you have opposing political parties and the prime minister is the head of the party that's in power. And they come and they go and they come back.
Right.
They don't go away. So you can be sure Netanyahu, if he is removed from the prime minister position, he'll still be the head of his Likud party and will always be working toward coming back, because they don't have that many leaders in a place that's you know, it's a small country. You're absolutely right, Netanyahu, but he may lose his position.
He's gonna lose his position for now, but then comes back again. One of the things, when you and I were there together, we interviewed him in that little closet that was his office. The thing that is most people think about capitals of major countries and the ornateness of the building. You look at London, you look at Paris, you look at some of the buildings in Germany or any big country, our country, and how much is devoted to making our capital city look like something amazing and not like anything else in the world. the Knesset is like a just a flat, ugly building on the top of a hill. There's nothing to it, really. Other than I mean, the chambers are okay, but when you wander around in the building, it looks like a warehouse.
Politicians in Israel basically conduct themselves as business people. Mm-hmm. They're more like business executives in office buildings than they are ceremonial figures in some type of imperial, ceremonial fanfare with, towers and, pillars and, all of these fancy Romanesque buildings. And we tend as societies to try to aggrandize ourselves, mm-hmm. Where it's larger than life. It's, the architecture, the ceremonies. Look at how Great Britain does, with the Queen in her golden, it's made out of solid gold carriage with horses pulling it and guys in uniforms.
The train the Queen has, I took a ride on that once. That was really an experience. Woo!
Yeah, wow. All that ceremonial stuff, societies do that. I mean, it's deep psychology of the human, of the human, condition, is that we like to think that we're part of something that's bigger than us, that's grand, that our culture will be remembered for thousands of years. We were here. Look at our architecture. Look at our pyramids. Look at our castles. Look at our monuments.
In a million years, who cares?
Well, it'll all be gone. It'll all be gone in a few thousand years because everything erodes and history. It's very hard to maintain history because you forget there was nobody there at the time. With video, it's going to be a lot easier than before video because imagine if we had video of Jesus or George Washington on film. So 1,000 years from now, if we preserve everything, they'll be able to see Kennedy, be able to see Trump. Whereas now we only have artists' depictions of them and stories. But this whole idea of creating larger-than-life images, flags, eagles, flyovers, it all is to make us feel better about the terrible mediocrity of our existences.
Mm-hmm. Right, as it continues. 44 after the hour, a preview of the Talkers Convention coming up next. All right, Michael Harris and Doug Steffen with the bold and the beautiful here. It's back. The Talkers Convention will be a week from today at Hofstra University. And so who's coming to dinner, Michael?
Well, a lot of people, obviously, from you to, my goodness, we have so many names there. It's incredible. And, it'll be on video so people can see it. We'll let everybody know how they can see it after the fact. It's kind of closed to the industry, so we're not promoting it here. I'm not trying to get people to go to it, but
it's not open to the public. It's just one of those things that becomes a conversation piece, like other things that you can find at Talkers, the Heavy 100, the weekly topics that we talk about here all of the time. There's a lot of meat there, and this is one of the things that became a standard, 28, 29 years ago.
Talkers have been around 31 years, so we've been doing conventions, first with Narch and then Talkers. It's been about 30 years of conventions. Amazing history.
Yeah, it is. All right, so we'll talk about that, and it'll be something that you can follow at talkers.com or thedjvshow.com. It's 10 before the hour.